I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. When you go into the hair salon or a cosmetic store, how much do you know about the products that are used on your skin or your hair? A new study says there are dangerous chemicals in some of these projects, particularly those marketed to Black women. That study comes from the nonprofit Environmental Working Group, and here to talk more about it is the group's Deputy Director of Research, Nika Leiba. She joins us by Skype. Hi, Nika.
Hi.
Also with us is Alelia Bundles. She's a self-proclaimed Black hair historian, and she is also the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker, who was the first Black millionaireess in America and invented the world's first hair straightening formula. Alelia, thanks for joining us.
Hi, but we'll talk about, she didn't invent the hair straightening formula, but we'll talk about that.
We will get right to that in a moment, but first I want to welcome in studio, we have Atlanta hairstylist Latasha Gray. It's good to have you as well.
Thanks, good morning.
So she did not invent it because she is credited with that, Alelia.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of stuff on the internet that's not correct. She did not invent the straightening comb. She did not invent the perm. She invented a hair conditioner that healed scalp disease.
And she was certainly successful at marketing all those things, whether she invented them or not.
Well, she did not. She did not market a straightener, but she marketed a shampoo and Madam Walker's wonderful hair grower and other ointments that that healed scalp disease.
Okay, and it's important. I want to make sure everyone's aware, staying with me on why this is important. Why do you make a point of saying that she did not market the hair straightening formula?
Well, because her initial problem is that she was going bald. She had really bad dandruff and scalp infections 111 years ago when most people didn't have indoor plumbing. Hygiene was very different. People didn't wash their hair very often, and so they had really bad scalp disease. So her revolutionary system was a shampoo and an ointment that contained sulfur, something like Vaseline, that healed the dandruff and the sores on the scalp so the hair could grow. Hence, Madam Walker's wonderful hair grower.
Okay, so this subject obviously has been a subject of debate, certainly among Black women for sure, for a very, very long time. How much, Latasha, do your clients ask you about, or how concerned are they over the chemicals that are in the products that are used in their hair?
I would say 3 out of 5 clients come in, and when they're trying to get their hair shampooed, they always ask, is this sulfate-free? That's really the only thing that they have a precaution about. Is it sulfate-free?
And how hard is it to find products that don't have sulfates in them?
It's not really hard. Our salon in particular offers 1 or 2 lines that that are sulfate-free, but we do definitely offer ones that do have sulfate in it. So in my opinion, when you go to the store, there are a decent amount of options for sulfate-free products.
Okay, and that brings us to you, Nika, because the research coming out of the Environmental Working Group suggests that it can be difficult to find products that don't have chemicals that can be toxic. Can you tell me the results of your research?
Yeah, certainly. EWG has been working on cosmetics and personal care products and looking at their toxicity for years. And we know how antiquated the law is that governs personal care, meaning that companies can use almost any ingredient that they see fit in products without testing them for safety. But we wanted to look specifically at products marketed to Black women, and that report showed that of the more than 1,000 products we looked at, unfortunately, Black women who shop exclusively for products marketed to their demographic would have fewer healthier options of products to choose from.
Now, this isn't a result of your research, but did you have any idea why that is? Why are there so many more potentially toxic chemicals in products marketed to Black women?
You know, it would be speculation, and I can speculate that there are some traditional hair products that the Black community uses that have caustic ingredients like hair straighteners and some hair dyes that have hormone-disrupting chemicals. But again, we didn't look specifically at that, so it would
right.
be speculation.
Well, then let me take that to our Black hair historian, Alelia Bundles. Why do you think it has ended up this way, where there are so many potentially dangerous chemicals in products for Black women?
Well, you know, when I looked at the research, I looked at the analysis, it looks as if of the almost 1,200 products that were analyzed, Hair relaxers and hair dyes and hair bleaches were included in that, and everything really sort of skews in that direction. Those are the worst offenders. It is significant that the share of the hair care market for relaxers has really gone down within the last decade, and I think that's a result of people being more conscious of it. But I would say, you know, when you look at the hair relaxers and you look at why women feel they need to straighten their hair, there is so much societal pressure and cultural pressure to do that. The Army finally lifted its ban on locks and braids. People are still being fired from their jobs if they don't straighten their hair. And so there is that kind of cultural pressure that makes people feel as if they need to use those chemical relaxers.
The documentary Good Hair from comedian Chris Rock goes into a lot of these issues that we're discussing right now. In it, a chemist is telling Chris here about the dangers of a chemical that's used in a particular relaxer.
If it gets down into the scalp, it'll kill it at the root, and you'll actually have bald spots there.
So if you're a beautician or something, and you deal in sodium hydroxide all day, I mean...
I wouldn't do it. If you breathe just the fumes from sodium hydroxide, those fumes will ruin your lungs. They'll damage your lungs permanently.
Latasha, how long have you been in this business?
I've been doing hair since 2007, but full-time since 2015 at a hair salon.
Have you been exposed to some chemicals that gave you concern?
No. Actually, the hair salon I worked at is a natural hair salon. That means that we do not apply relaxers. However, we do apply hair color, but not relaxers. So I feel like as a hairstylist, I have a reduced exposure.
You're not being exposed to sodium hydroxide, which is caustic.
Right.
But let's then explain what natural hair is for people who may not be of African-American descent and have no idea what that is.
Right. So it's so funny. It's a two-way street. So natural sometimes can mean when you don't have a relaxer in your hair or when you're chemical free. But there are some individuals that do not put a relaxer in their hair, but they have hair color. So technically you're not chemical free. You're not natural. But natural just means that you don't put chemicals in your hair to alter your hair texture. But like I said, most people it's very rare for me to see a client that is completely natural, because even if they don't use a relaxer, they're using hair color.
We're talking about the dangers of certain cosmetic products, especially those targeted to Black women. And I'm speaking with Atlanta hairstylist Latasha Gray, you just heard. Also, Nika Leba of the Environmental Working Group and journalist, and Black hair historian Alelia Bundles. Nika, this particular research is not being duplicated. In fact, it's not all that easy to find this information on what is in hair products. Why is it so difficult in some cases to find out what's going on to our hair and our skin?
You know, that's a great question. And groups like Black Women for Wellness and the West Harlem Environmental Action have done some work on this issue, but it is not widely studied. I think part of the reason is because there's not a desire. You know, the consumer doesn't know yet that she needs to know this information. And so getting this information to them right now will make them more appreciative of the dangers and therefore demand more information about it. So we're hoping that this spurs more research on the topic.
Alelia, have you seen, through Black hair history, have you seen a change in the trend in terms of people's awareness of what's in these products, and also what Latasha was talking about in terms of the push for natural hair?
Yes. I mean, I'm old enough to have gone through the original hair wars in the early 60s when we went from pressed hair and perms to natural hair, and I've watched the pendulum swing back and forth. It is very interesting, really, in this last sort of 5 to 7 years, where there are companies like Sundial Brands and Shea Moisture and others, Black-owned companies in particular, where they are scoring well on this EWG study, with fewer high hazard, more low hazard ingredients, and I think they're very aware of offering products that are useful for African American women who have quite a few different textures of hair. We range from kinky to straight, and to have products that don't have parabens, that don't have sulfates, this is something that's very important to the consumer. But I do agree that this study is really needed to raise awareness, because I think most people don't think about it. Even if they've gone from the sodium hydroxide in the relaxers, there are still plenty of other things that are not healthy.
So, Latasha, how have you seen this trend play out in terms of what customers ask for when they come into your salon?
Okay, well, I know you've heard of YouTube, right?
No, so, what is that?
So consumers, it's so funny. They watch YouTube and then sometimes they come in the salon and they tell us, hey, what are you doing? Because I saw on YouTube that you're supposed to be doing this to my hair, or you're supposed to use this on my hair. So like I said, I think bloggers and natural hair enthusiasts that have created YouTube channels because they may have done research or whatever, they do expose clients to, hey, use this product, don't use this product, don't use sulfate, let's co-wash, don't shampoo your hair often. Like, they have these different strategies.
What is co-wash?
Co-wash is basically when you're not using shampoo to cleanse your hair, you're actually using conditioner to conditioner and maybe to cleanse your hair.
Because shampoo can strip off the oils that protect your hair.
Right. And as a stylist, our job is to get the hair to look the way the client wants it to look. They have a desired style in mind. And sometimes using certain products can prevent that from happening. So some of the products that may not have sulfate, or the concept of not using things that don't have chemical or highly hazardous things, sometimes those products can help you reach your goal for styling, and sometimes it prevents you from reaching.
But wait, have you had clients then come in who have damaged their hair with these products irreversibly?
Yes. Yes.
So let me go back to the research of the Environmental Working Group then, Nika. What else needs to be known? Because frankly, some of the blogs that you watch is based on research that is, in my view, kind of sketchy. It's not necessarily good, solid clinical research. So what else needs to be done?
I think the consumer needs to become more educated about these ingredients. And that's something that all of us are starting to know. And luckily, we have a resource like Skin Deep. But it's not just chemical hair straighteners that have ingredients of concern. There are parabens, which are endocrine disruptors and can potentially affect fertility. You know, there are allergens. They're all ingredients linked to cancer. So becoming more aware of these chemicals that are frequently used in products that we use every single day, and then demanding that companies reformulate or take those chemicals out. What we've seen over the last few years is that consumer pressure has forced the industry to change, move towards better ingredients. And so with more education and more awareness of this issue, we're hoping that that trend continues.
And is this possibly a pendulum swing, Alelia, as you were referring to earlier? Could we be headed in the midst of a natural hair revolution at the moment, and then it'll swing back towards relaxers and straightening again?
I hope not.
Oh, no,
I hope it doesn't swing all the way back. I hope that we are, you know, we're now at a place where there's so many options for products that don't have these harmful ingredients, but that also do the trick. And there is pressure to, when people want a certain style and the hairstylist feels the pressure to conform to that. But there also are other ways. I mean, I know in our new Madam C.J. Walker Beauty Culture line, there are no silicones in our oils, but it still achieves the same result. And I think that there has to be consciousness raising. I mean, I'll just tell you quickly, I was speaking at a high school where there's a beauty course, and young women who were pregnant were using the chemical relaxers, and the teachers really tried to get them not to do that during a certain period of their pregnancy, and they just felt the pressure to want to be able to do that. But that's harmful. That's a consciousness raising. It's like getting people to stop smoking, that there are other ways that you can have other styles or achieve other looks without being harmful to yourself.
Latasha, this gets tricky, though. There are a lot of natural products. Even if you go into Walgreens now, these things that you never used to be able to find, mm-hmm. I can find my Cantu shampoo there and my Miss Jessie's cream for after the shower. But this gets tricky because people are very emotional to their hair. It's not always just a logical proposition. I mean, how do you get through some of that when you're speaking to your clients?
Are you referencing?
People get have emotional ties to products. Right. Then their hair becomes, it's not a logical thing anymore. That discussion about hair can be very passionate.
Right.
How do you cut through that?
Honestly, when a person decides to come, I mean, you can either decide to go to a salon that's for natural hair, or you can just say, hey, that's a bunch of crock. I'm not buying what they're selling. Let me go to another salon, right? So a lot of the clients that I deal with, they have made a conscious decision that, hey, I want better for my hair. Now, even with that, like I said, I still do have clients that are very attached to certain brands. And what I, as a stylist, like to do is if they are attached to a certain brand, let's say, let's reduce the amount of usage. Keep using it sparingly, because me personally, I always feel like too much of anything isn't good for you. So I don't really try to snatch away, like, you know, what they're so used to. But I say, hey, you've been using this X amount of times, let's reduce it. And then hopefully wean them off of it. But you're right, you can't. It's very hard to get a woman to not be loyal to a brand, but the best way is to wean them off of it.
That is Atlanta hairstylist Latasha Gray. We also spoke with Nika Leiba of the Environmental Working Group and journalist and black hair historian Alelia Bundles. Thanks so much to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's our show for today, but we always love to know what you think. What kind of beauty products are you loyal to? Have you had a bad experience? Call and tell us at 404-500-9457. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. The show is at OSD Talk, and I'm at Celeste Headley. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. Have a great day.